Welcome to the But Here We Go podcast, coming at you from But Here We Go Studios in Dallas, Texas.
That wasn't the right sound. It's like,
we're back, baby.
There we go. Sure.
What were you gonna? What sound?
Like
were you
the whole, like the basketball, like the. Now it sounds like da 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 da. This is unrelated but related.
Yeah, tell me.
Because I don't know if we've talked about this, but I was on a podcast a couple weeks ago for church.
You were.
And the entire like thing, recording, I felt like was derailed when they found out that I worked for Radio Disney for
Radio
7
Disney.
Years.
Yeah. That happens.
I guess like to me, I feel like it's a very well-known fact about me, at least people who know me super well. So for it to like completely derail the conversation was really funny.
It's funny how things can derail conversations.
Like my story about derailing conversations?
Like a story about derailing conversations. Or Radio Disney. Is Radio Disney even a thing anymore?
Not anymore. No, no, no.
I don't even think it exists.
Yeah, I don't think kids are listening to the radio these days.
Do kids these days even know what a radio is?
Yes.
They don't even know radio. The radio star is dead. He was killed.
Radio Disney stopped broadcasting on April 14th, 2021. So I made it. It made it pretty far.
It is one of the many casualties of COVID.
I just think this is funny. When its last remaining terrestrial station was quietly changed to a simulcast.
Wow.
Why are they call it a terrestrial station?
A physical building where they still recorded in-house.
Oh.
Now it's simulcast.
What does that mean?
I don't know exactly. Because somebody has to record something somewhere. Somewhere, if there is a human making noise that turns into words, that has to be done somewhere. Like right now, our recording studio, just because it isn't an official building.
It's terrestrial.
It is terrestrial. We are sitting on the earth. We are here, alive, recording.
Well, speaking of terrestrial, just because it's a really good segue.
Okay.
On our last podcast, which was a while ago, one of my predictions was aliens would somehow come into, like, we would have to talk about aliens.
It would be 2024.
Right, in 2024.
The year of the alien.
Right, right. There have actually been a couple of alien stories, but they were all, like, easily debunked, so they never made mainstream media. We still have not heard back from that random scientist that spoke to the government. But today, we had a friend of ours who is a pilot for
a listener as well.
Who I'm trying, I'm like, I don't know if we should say details.
Well-known airline.
Well-known airline. Sent
they may
us,
or may not fly airplanes.
Right, right. No, for sure flies airplanes. Sent us a video of mysterious lights in the sky and has claimed that he himself has seen these mysterious lights in the sky multiple times.
Yeah. And they're not stars.
And if anyone wants the video, text me. I don't feel like putting it on the internet.
Yeah, we're not putting this on the internet because that's how we get blacklisted.
So that's interesting news.
Yeah.
Or does this, I mean, technically, what if we're the ones to break the news? What if we, what's like, Page Six is the British version of trash news. What's like the American version of?
The National Enquirer.
Yeah, maybe I'll go to the National Enquirer. Yeah, Enquirer
take
be like,
it to
look,
them.
I got these videos.
Take it to them.
And then I'll make $10 off videos that aren't mine.
Take it to them. Let's see what happens.
Well, I asked this pilot, I was like, what do you think they are? And he said, probably military.
Probs.
Right. So it makes me feel a little bit better.
Everything's military, isn't it?
Right. But this comes back to the same thing that we've talked about. We talk about aliens probably more than we should.
So much.
I don't know why
so
we talk
much.
About aliens on this podcast so much. But I am not saying aliens don't exist. I'm just saying the likelihood of them being like coming onto Earth is so unlikely that like the level of conspiracy that would have to occur to keep that kind of thing, like that information from not coming out would be outlandish.
Yeah.
And that's like, cause like, you know, we have so many people looking at space scientist wise, just looking at stuff constantly, that we would surely see a gigantic spacecraft.
Yeah.
Coming to Earth.
Yeah. You would see it enter the atmosphere. It would burn up unless it had some weird thruster things.
Why would it burn up?
Because everything, once it enters the atmosphere, burns up.
I mean, that's not why you spaceships. See,
yeah, they do. I mean, not like they don't burn up completely.
Right.
But so they've got heat shields, but you see them.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. They can't just like magically appear.
Yeah.
And that would also mean, to remind faithful listeners, that the alien, if they hadn't come from a nearby planet, which we have concluded cannot sustain life, they would have to come from a planet millions of light years away, which they could not, as a carbon-based life form, feasibly withstand. And so it is most likely the aliens that come into contact with us are robots sent by carbon-based life forms. Like I said, I do too much research into this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then just you get into the Terminator type stuff. And that's not... Long story short, I was not concerned about any of these mysterious lights.
I see mysterious lights all the time.
Do you know what it just reminded me of, though?
What?
We were watching that documentary on Netflix that we never finished about that cult in France, where the guy was like in the 80s, because apparently a bunch of UFO sightings happened in France, which again, side note, as an American-centric media, I had absolutely no idea that there were a ton of UFO sightings in France in the 80s.
I didn't know France had UFOs.
Who knew? I thought it was just an American thing. Anyway, he was saying that, what was he saying?
He said that the aliens made us.
Right. That God doesn't exist, God is aliens. And we were created in their image.
And they're going to come back.
So
he had to make an alien embassy.
Right. Which hasn't been made yet. Right. You can still donate to the cause, though.
Yeah, fam.
Anyway.
Donate to that cause. I got better causes to donate to.
Oh, yeah?
If you're looking for donation requests or suggestions, reach out to me. I got a few.
Wait, do you really?
Yeah. There's Solar Prep for Boys.
Oh, yeah. Jake's cool.
There's World Vision.
Great one.
There's Living Water International.
Awesome.
There's the Allie and Joe House Fund.
You don't need to donate to that. We're fine.
And there's
that's it. Those are the only good charitable organizations. I know a couple missionaries.
There's Pugs for Hugs.
Hugs for Pugs or Pugs for Hugs?
No, Pugs for Hugs.
You give a pug, you get a hug?
No, you donate to the Pugs for Hugs.
And do you have to donate a pug or money?
They take care of the pugs. And then the pugs, like, it's not a real hug. They just, like, play with you.
Okay, here's
it. I don't know if this is a real nonprofit.
Did you just make this up?
But if it's not, I'm going to make it.
Okay, well, now my next question is totally pointless. Because my question was, can someone who's listening who loves dogs in particular tell me and let me know the reasoning behind breed-based, like, dog initiatives? Like, you'll hear, like we only rescue this type of breed, or we only service this type of dog. And I'm like, I don't understand why it needs to be that specific.
Have you ever met a Chihuahua?
Yes. No, I don't know. No.
Have you ever met a pug?
Yes.
Have you ever met a Great Dane?
Yes.
Have you ever met a Golden Retriever?
Yes.
Do you feel like those dogs are different in the way they act and feel and interact with humans?
No. I feel like they're different in size.
Okay. Well,
do all breeds have a temperament? Like a similar temperament?
They don't all have a similar temperament. And they don't all necessarily get along with each other. So,
but people can be like, I love Rottweilers.
Yeah.
And it's not just because of the way they look. It's like they just love the entity that is Rottweiler.
Yeah. Some Rottweilers get along better with some humans. And like, you're a Rottweiler person. Or like, you're a Doberman person. Or you're a Great Dane person.
I don't get it.
It's a dog thing.
Is it also a cat thing?
I think so. I think you have to be a special person to like those hairless cats.
You know what?
You need to be special for that.
It's kind of growing on me.
Cats?
The hairless cat.
Why?
I don't know. I think I've seen enough videos of it online to where it's starting to look cute and kind of like squishy. And I kind of think out of all the cats, that's the one I would want. I also am a contrarian and I like to be different. And so it just, it's tapping into that part of me that would be like, you know, if anyone was like, man, what kind of cat would the Battiers have? I don't think it would be a hard mental jump for them to be like, oh yeah, they have, they're the ones with the hairless cat. I think it would make sense to people in their brains. Joe's like aghast.
I don't think I could ever own a hairless cat. The only reason...
Challenge accepted.
The only reason to own a cat is to pet the cat.
Yeah, I know. And it would be squishy and wrinkly.
And if it doesn't have hair...
Right.
What are you petting?
I mean, I'm sure it has like peach fuzz.
I don't know. We'd have to look that
like, what
up.
If you like you kneaded it like dough?
No, I don't think so.
You don't
so.
Think so? Okay. I got to find a hairless cat.
You got to find one and just like... Just, we could foster a hairless cat for a week. I'm sure they've got fosters for cats.
Unrelated, but related. This is the theme. That'll be the title for the podcast.
Unrelated, but related.
So, a listener commented and let us know that she just was like curious because she's like, on the podcast, Allie, your voice sounds completely different than it does in real life. You talk so slow. And so now this entire time that's been in the back of my head, and I've been like, I feel like I am talking different than I normally do.
You feel like you're talking slower?
I feel like I'm talking slower, and I feel like I'm talking deeper than I usually am. And now I'm like trying to purposely change my voice. But I'm wondering if it's the Radio Disney, like the radio training of me trying to do that on purpose.
I've been told...
That you have a radio voice.
I have been told that.
You for sure have a radio
but
voice.
But I've also been told that putting the headphones on changes people. It makes them a new person.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
If you put the headphones on, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm on the radio.
Well, because so now I have one like headphone on, one headphone off. And so as of now, we'll see if I...
if it changes.
Because I don't have to have the headphones
on. Time marker, 12 minutes, 30 seconds.
Right, because I don't have to have the headphones on.
Take them off.
Okay.
Try it.
Okay, we're going to try
She's
that.
She's doing it. We're doing a live experiment. She has taken off the headphones,
but that makes
folks.
Sense because you sound different. I sound muffled. Yeah. And so it's almost like I'm forcing myself to be muffled because I don't have them on.
I think you...
Also, our child is sleeping two rooms away. And so I am also trying to like...
Be a little quieter.
Right.
Yeah. This is also why I listen to everything at 2X.
Right.
Because during conversations, I'm always being told I'm talking too slow anyway.
Interesting.
So I just speed everything up.
Okay. Well, that's funny because, so I listen, like the podcast I listen to, like the talk radio ones, I always listen to 2.0. Or like two
you
times
listen
speed.
2 point something?
No, like two, like double speed, or at least 1.75 or whatever. And I'll try to like turn it back to like one, like normal. They sound so bizarre to me.
Yeah,
so bizarre.
And I know that they try to not change their voices, but I think there's no way to
I
do
think
that.
They're going super slow though.
By speeding them up a little bit, what I'm saying is by speeding them up a little bit. You do naturally make them sound a little bit higher pitched.
I don't know, because when I was editing podcasts, there was a way to not do that. You picked a different...
I don't know.
Are you want to fight, bro?
No, I don't want to fight. I just... I listen to it slower, and I'm like, their voices are deeper. Their talk is painfully slow and dramatic.
Right.
And on a similar note... I've started to listen to books at like 2.5 to 2.75 speed.
Fiction or nonfiction? I can't do that for fiction. Fiction, I can't do that fast.
Yeah, I've noticed.
I can't keep up with the story if it's that fast.
Well, here's one problem. So I'll listen to like business books.
So
I know.
Boring.
So boring.
You're
so
not
boring.
Even in business.
But, well, yeah, I do biz dev. Biz dev.
I hated that. Do you know what an ick is?
Here's the thing. No, I don't. No, ick.
Well, whatever you did, you just gave me the ick.
Good. I have heard that ick thing. Okay. I just heard it today, actually.
Oh, okay.
So when I listen to those books, if I'm listening to it, there are figures that they're talking about. There are concepts that they're talking about. And it doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I am listening to the book, I'm only going to get like 30% of it.
Right. That's why I pick like books that I want. Like if it's a nonfiction book that I want to get like the gist of, but I don't really need to get bogged down to the numbers, then I'll audiobook it because I get like the main points.
Yeah. Now I did, we had a conversation the other day about Audible, which is an Amazon brand, which I'm not promoting. I am not promoting Amazon.
Okay, continue.
But I went ahead with my free book and my free trial.
Wait, what book did you get?
I got The Long Hunter by Steve Rinella and Clay Newcomb. Yeah, it was...
You've already listened to it?
Oh, yeah, I listened to it super fast.
When? On the way back from Houston?
Yeah, on the way back from Houston.
I was like, where the heck
was
I?
But it was... I'm sorry to them, but their podcasts are significantly better than the book.
Dang, the book was fired.
Like, I enjoy reading Steve's books. That one where I am listening to him read this book, it just didn't, and I don't know if it's because it's a slightly different genre. Like that one, The Long Hunter is all, that is historical. It's like a historic, I don't know what genre
nonfiction.
That is. Yeah, historical
it,
nonfiction.
Wait, sorry, what is this book about?
It is about Long Hunters.
I don't know what that means.
So Long Hunters, think of people like David, it's not David Bowie.
The guy with the coonskin hat?
Coonskin cap. But he didn't actually
John
wear
Wayne.
It.
It's not John Wayne. Oh my gosh. No. Davy Crockett.
Well, there's Davy Crockett. But
Jim Bowie.
Yeah.
Not David Bowie.
Is it Davy Crockett?
He was like a man. Outdoorsman.
This is what
guy.
Happens.
I'm going to look up the book that you just read.
Okay. But it was not Davy Crockett. There was another one.
Long Hunter?
The Long Hunters. Maybe it was David Crockett. Yeah, it was David Crockett. You're right.
From the creators, blah, 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 brings to life the bold, hair-raising, and often tragic adventures of a generation of 18th century frontiersmen, The Long Hunter, Daniel Boone, Henry Skaggs, and Caspar Mansker.
Daniel
These were the commercial
Boone.
Hunters and trappers who explored and exploited the first far west, the land across the Appalachian Mountains in the era between the Seven Years' War and the American Revolution. Steve Rinella wrote this book, or he just did the foreword?
No, he wrote it.
Is he a history expert? Wow, it's short. It's only 6 hours long.
He has a...
What is this?
I think he's got an English degree, and then he may have a history degree as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
But yeah, his degree is in English. But all that to say, it is... So it's about the Long Hunters. They would go on these month-long expeditions of hunting, and it was because the deer skin or leather, the deer skin trade was so big at that time that you could make more money going out hunting and collecting deer skins and selling those to the market than you could any other way. So they would go on these big, long hunts and go out and do that. But the way they would do that is they would be going into what was then considered the far west, which was just into Tennessee and Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Which
that was the far west?
At that time.
Wow.
Yeah. But that was all Indian territory that
Native
we
American.
Were not supposed to be in. So these people who were not... They weren't necessarily like thinking, oh yeah, we're Americans, we're taking over, we're living
in
manifest
destiny.
No, they were just like, we know there's deer over there, we can get a lot more if we go over there, so we're gonna go do that and make a bunch of money, and then they would go back.
As much as I love nothing more than to turn our family podcast into a book podcast, I hear we say I'm living for it. I have one question. Is this an actual book? Because I can only find audiobooks of this
it's
book.
It's only an audiobook.
Okay, so you're telling me that a famous podcaster...
He started as...
Created an audiobook.
He started as a book writer.
Right. But this also could just be considered a six-hour-long podcast.
But it's just... It could be.
If there's not a physical copy of the book...
He's just talking, though.
So there's not a physical copy of the book?
No.
So this is not a book?
It's an audiobook.
It's a long-form talk show. where he's talking about the Long Hunters.
It's not a talk show, though, because it is him reading a book.
But the book is not available.
But it's him reading a script.
Okay, script.
Yeah, let's call it a script.
Okay, so it is a scripted history lesson.
Audio history performance. History lesson,
sure. There you go. Yeah. I like that. I'll scripted compromise. It is audio an audio performance. I don't want to classify this as a book.
That's fine. You don't have to.
That's I mean, Amazon is classifying as an audiobook, but
yeah,
I have my qualms.
Yeah, I think it, which is to me, going back to that, it is unique in that I love both of their podcasts. They're very, very conversational and do such a great job having real live conversations. But then when you're reading this book, even at 2.5 speed, it still felt slow and dull and dry.
Got it. Because it was a history lesson.
Yeah. And the funniest part is that Clay Newcomb on the Bear Grease podcast did a 3 or 4 part series about Daniel Boone. And it was some of his best work.
Wow. Well, Goodreads is saying that this is 4.6 out of 5 stars. So that's actually pretty high.
You know
of
what?
A Goodreads rating.
Not bad. Not bad. But I would give it, I don't even know.
I was going to say, what would you give it?
I mean, of all the books that I've listened to lately, I'll give it a 3.8.
Dang, that's really low. So, but this has given me a really interesting idea. What if I repackage the audio of 6 of our podcasts into a 6-hour MP3, upload it to Amazon, self-publish our first audiobook, but here we go, the audiobook. What do you
Let's
think about
do
that?
It would be. Can we do that?
I mean, I truly don't see why not, but also I'm sure we'd have to pay for it in some.
How much would we have to pay to start just having But Here We Go book?
Oh my God, I was really joking about this. It was supposed to be a joke. It didn't
Let's
land.
Do it.
You're taking this far too seriously.
Yes.
If we're going to do a 6-hour book, it's got to be about something interesting. I'm going to be able to rant
we're
on any
We're going to script it.
Jake's like, Mom, I'm hungry. And we're like, no, we got to record this audio book.
Recording.
I mean, I guess we could like pause it. We wouldn't have to do it one sitting. But stop. No, we're not doing this. It's not a good idea.
Life. The But Here
Growing
way.
Up, I really wanted to be an author in some capacity.
This is your chance.
No, I'm really not a good like long form writer.
We're not writing, we're talking.
But you just said they read off a script, so we would have to write a script.
We don't have to do that.
No, we're not doing this. Stop.
We don't have to do that.
No.
We're going to do it. We're going to make a comedy book. It's going to be a comedy book.
Let's do a how-to book.
Yeah.
How to make an audiobook on Amazon. 6 hours long.
How to make an audiobook.
Anyway.
All right. Have you turned your equipment on? Is the red light on?
I'm going to switch this very boring conversation to, you know what I was thinking about?
No,
because you know the Olympics are this summer?
Yeah.
Do you remember that, I guess it will be two years from the Olympics, we started this podcast.
What?
Remember, we literally had the Olympics on, which I guess would have been the Winter
on.
Olympics. We had the Olympics on the TV, and you and I just sat here with the mics, and we talked to each other while sitting on our couch, while also watching the Olympics, and then we didn't know how to edit anything, so we just put everything. It didn't even have a theme song. I wasn't able to cut anything out of it because we didn't really know how to edit, and we just like uploaded the audio. It's awful.
That's
you can still
great.
Go listen to it. It's our first
great.
Episode, but that's what started.
Love it.
The But Here We Go podcast.
Love it.
Look at us.
We're going
2 years
now. I've got a podcast that no longer has a sponsor anymore.
Can we But Here We Go podcast be your sponsor until you find one that pays you?
No, I don't think so.
Why not? Are you ashamed of this podcast?
No, because it doesn't work like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can your podcast be the sponsor on our podcast?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. Energy Transition Solutions sponsoring the But Here We Go podcast.
Oh my gosh. Anyway.
That's it.
So what have you been up to since our last podcast?
Oh, man, I have been just working.
Yeah.
It's
working
crazy.
9 to 5.
Working
as one would
9
say.
To 5. What a way to make a living.
What a way to make a living.
Yeah.
Side note, can I just go on a rant?
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with anything. Well, let me take you through the mental leap frog that my brain just did. 9 to 5 is a Dolly Parton song. Dolly Parton is a singer who also does, or is also related to the 9 to 5 Broadway musical that was made after the Dolly Parton movie. Musical, Wicked. We got to see the first trailer for the Wicked movie coming out. And then I thought, oh, wait, I hated that trailer because at the very end, Cynthia Erivo, who plays Alphaba in the new Wicked, had an awful riff.
Yeah.
And now I don't want to see the movie anymore.
I'm sorry. Just that one riff.
It was awful.
That riff. That'll
it's
get
all
you.
Over TikTok. Everyone thinks it's the worst riff ever. It's the riff
that
ruined the movie.
That riff
anyway,
was
that
rough.
Was my tangent of
riff, rough.
Wicked. Continue.
Rough riff. Speaking of.
You look like a frog right now.
Ribbit, ribbit, rough.
You was like, yeah, you very much look like a frog.
Anyway, so we saw that.
The Big Game.
The Big Game.
Right, The Big Game.
The Big Game to end the season of the National Football
League.
Did
you know that this year's Big Game...
Are they going to come after us now?
...was... I will legitimately cut out everything.
Good, good.
Yeah, yeah. You can't say
we can't do
name.
That.
You
We're media personalities.
The Big Game was viewed more... by more people in America... than people in America who viewed the lunar landing in 1969.
I'm not surprised.
Because people have TV. More people
have TVs.
More
people have TVs. More people are infatuated with
T-Sweezy.
How are
they able to do that math when like a lot of like big game parties, there's like 50 people watching one TV? How do they do the math? How do they guesstimate that?
That's just
fascinating.
Made up numbers. Anyway, the... Big Game was the least attended since COVID.
Really? Why?
Yeah. That's just what the Morning Brew said. It had the least attendance, but it also had ticket prices that on average were almost $10,000.
No, I saw like clips of people, they paid like $10,000 to $16,000 for a ticket. That's
Why?
Crazy. Is that the listing price or is that like scalpers afterwards?
No, that's got to be scalpers. I don't know how you...
Who has that kind of money to buy that on one ticket.
I don't know. And I also don't know how you actually get tickets to the Big Game, like at face value. Because surely they...
Is it not on like StubHub or something?
I would assume that you can find them at face value. Because face value's got to be... I mean, maybe nosebleeds are like $400 or $500. I would believe that. But that's just an insane price. I couldn't imagine spending that much to go to one football game.
Did you hear that the 49ers team, like during like the post game interviews or whatever?
They all cried.
No, they said they did not understand the new overtime rules. And
what?
So they would have played a different strategy if they had understood properly the overtime rules.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't do football, but interesting scandal. Will they keep the overtime rules? I don't know. It was very confusing. As a non-football watcher, I did not understand the overtime rules. But then again, I barely understand the game. So that's not saying much.
And I think that the overtime rules in general, they just... Why do we continue to change them and move them around?
Oh my gosh, what a great idea. What if we just give them both trophies and both rings and they both can tie? Like in the Olympics. Why can't that happen? Why does there have to be a clear winner?
There has to be a winner.
Why? They both make the jerseys with the winning team on it.
Yeah.
They have the merch.
If somebody ends up not... If they both win, then all that gets sold in the U.S. And then we don't have clothes to send to... middle of nowhere.
It's all for the children.
Yeah, it's for the children.
No,
think of the children.
That's stupid. They can both be the best.
I do agree that continually changing the overtime rules is difficult.
Are they continually changing it?
I didn't know.
I don't
what
think they're
the rules
continually
were.
Changing it.
But it also was confusing and did not make much sense.
Was there a commercial during the Big Game that stood out to you?
Was there a commercial that stood out?
Because that's really
out?
The only reason why I watched. Though this was actually an interesting game.
Yeah, I thought the game was really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching the game.
Right.
It was fun. Even the even the overtime that nobody understood how the overtime worked. That was enjoyable for me.
But was there a commercial that you liked?
Who was it that said they didn't understand the rules? Was
oh my gosh, are you really
the coaches?
No, the players. I'll look it up.
And what would the players have done differently? They still would have been doing exactly what their coaches told them to do.
49ers. Multiple 49er players admitted they were not even aware of the rules. Quote, I didn't even know about the new playoff overtime rule, so it was a surprise to me, Niners defensive lineman Arik Armstead said. I didn't even really know what was going on in the terms of that. Niners coach Kyle Shanahan said he and his analytics team discussed overtime possibilities for the game, but Armstead and fullback Kyle that's a lot of consonants in a name. It's got to be Polish or something. Both said that overtime strategy was not discussed with players leading up to the game. You know what? I didn't even realize the playoff rules were different in overtime, this guy whose name I can't pronounce said. I assume you just want the ball to score a touchdown and win. I guess that was not the case. I don't totally know the strategy there. We had not talked about it. No. That's it.
So, yeah.
You really stuck on that, aren't
you? This is going to be an unpopular opinion, okay. I'm sure, especially amongst 49ers fans. But that's on them. You should know the rules. Anytime you go out hunting, you need to know the rules so that way you're not breaking the law. If you want to have the best opportunity to win the game, you should know the rules and play by the rules and have your strategy for the rules.
That's true.
You know what they say when you do your taxes? Hey, I'm just using the tax law. That's all they say. Unless they are, in fact, breaking the law. Then they go to jail for tax evasion.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go revisit the question I've asked you three times. Commercials.
Back to the commercial question.
Yeah, what was your favorite? Or did you have a favorite? Do you even care about the commercials like I do?
Here's the thing. There are two big commercials that I missed.
Which ones?
The Dunkings.
Me too. I haven't even seen it yet. We need to YouTube it after this.
And then that Turbo or DoorDash commercial.
What DoorDash
that apparently everybody
commercial?
Was trying to win.
Oh,
Did
I saw that one.
Break it?
Oh, I got to look it up.
Somebody break that code?
Let me look.
I didn't even see the commercial.
I know. You were on your phone while it was on. And I was like, Joe. And you were on your phone.
You did not do that. Joe.
I practically threw myself at you. I was like, Joe, you got to watch this.
Joe,
DoorDash.
Look, you can win this. Anybody get it yet?
I don't see anything.
Nobody got it yet?
I don't know. Those wanting to enter will have to work. I mean, I don't know. There's been no article about it.
Interesting. Maybe I still got a chance. How much do you think it's worth, though?
There's like a whole list of prizes, and you get all of them.
But how much is it worth?
At least like 10 grand or something crazy.
Like, should
like
I take a few days off work to try and win it?
It shouldn't take you that long. Surely someone has figured it out by now. Surely. All it said, for those listening, it was like, it was for DoorDash, and they're like, type in this code to win a prize or whatever. And so they start saying the code, and it's like, you know, DoorDash dash the big game dash blah, blah, blah. But then they keep going, and it starts getting faster. And meanwhile, the words are on the screen. And then at a certain point, and like the words are like wrapping around walls, blah, blah, blah. And then at a certain point, they're like, Now we're not going to write it on it. Now it switches to no longer you can see the words, and you just have to do it from the audio, and they keep getting faster. And then the narrator's like, we ran out of time. And then it just shows like a blank, like black screen with just a paragraph of words that is continuing the code. So it's a long code. But truthfully, if you just like sat there and watched it and played it really, like some nerd figured it out. Or truthfully, I'm sure that there is an AI formula that could like strip the words out of it.
You could try to do a transcript. It's probably going to get messed up though.
But it would get you one step closer, and then you just have to listen to it and check the transcript.
Yeah.
You're welcome, whoever is listening to this and who's going to do this faster than us. We figured it out for you.
Yeah, we've created the plan. I'm sure somebody got it. Had to have.
My favorite commercial was the one with Michael Cera for CeraVe.
Funny.
Oh my gosh. And that's only funny. Because a couple weeks ago on TikTok, paparazzi photos of him shopping in a CVS with a cart full of CeraVe popped up, and everyone's like, what the heck is Michael Cera doing with CeraVe? And so when that commercial came on, I jumped out of my seat because I was like, it all makes sense now. This was all for the commercial. And that was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Those are the commercials I like, the ones that have a few.
There was a lot of celebrities this year, I feel like, more so than normal.
I guess people realize that they're already spending so much money on a Super Bowl ad. Why not spend a little bit more?
Speaking of spending money on a Super Bowl ad, there were multiple like religious ads this
same
year.
Same.
But the one that I thought was the most interesting was the He Gets Us campaign. And it was interesting. They did a campaign last time too. But what was interesting is that everyone hated it. Like, if you were like more on the left of things, you hated it for certain reasons. And if you were on the right of things, you were upset for certain reasons. So then I was kind of like, well, then what? Did they hit their target audience? If all I'm seeing all over the internet is people hating him for different reasons, was it worth $14 million? Hard to say.
Definitely hard to say. We'll see how many people come to Christ from that.
We'll see.
I think that there'll be a tally. In heaven.
We'll get up to the pearly gates.
We'll get up there and be like, and hey, be remember like, that commercial? He washed feet. I think it was 2024. Sorry, can't say that. Can we say that in heaven? Can we? No, it's still copyright laws.
Still copyright. Okay.
The big game.
Even
in
God
24?
Doesn't have the copyright.
In 24, do you remember that commercial? How many people?
Are you asking me?
How many you think? Yeah, I'm asking you. How many people?
I don't know.
Think?
It didn't tell you the gospel, so
I think
it's hard to say. And they have a website, so they.
I think there's going to be at least 7.
Some people liked it. I'm not going to tell you. You know what? I'm not going to tell you what I thought about it. We'll see who everyone thinks what everyone thinks I thought about it. If you want to guess if I liked it or if I didn't like it or if I was neutral on it, send me a text just for funsies.
And if you want to guess what I thought about it. Send me a text. And guess what? You're still going to wonder because I'm not going to tell you.
As we wrap this thing up, we should set a date. When? Oh, yeah. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Hey, happy Valentine's
Day. The holiday we don't celebrate.
I'm going to get you something.
That's a lie from the pits of hell.
I'm going to find something and get it for you.
If it's belly button lit, I swear to God.
What?
I'm just kidding.
That is so weird. That's the weirdest thing you've ever said.
It is
Don't
recorded.
You dare get me belly button lint for Valentine's Day.
It was in the shape of a heart, sure.
What?
And
so
this
weird.
Is me with an imaginary shovel.
Man.
Digging me a deeper hole of awkwardness.
No, I think I'm going to go somewhere, buy some flowers
last minute. You work all day.
Go buy some flowers last minute, pay $45.
That's ridiculous.
Because they're going
to. Side note, and I'm really trying to end this podcast because I'm tired. Every day this week, when I've picked Jacob from school, he's like, Mom, I got you flowers. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a wadded up ball of weeds.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I'm like, thanks, man.
That's so sweet.
It is really
sweet. He's a sweet guy.
They're definitely weeds, though, but they're great.
Well,
I don't think there's flowers on them at this point. Or maybe there were, but they're so squished I can't tell. They're stuck
they
in the
dandelions?
Wine. They're like the little purpley weed.
Oh, yeah. Those are flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, little purple
flowers. I just can't see the purple quite yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've already said the sponsor. The sponsor is the Energy Transition Solutions Podcast on the Oil and Gas Global Network. If you're into energy or transitioning in energy solutions, you know, send me a message. And remember, But Here We Go podcast is brought to you by that, because that's where we got all this equipment that eventually we're not going to know what to do with. So with that, I guess we're going to hang up the phone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.